From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. We are 35 days away from what many political scholars are calling an historic election. On November 5th, our country will elect a new president, either former President Donald Trump or current Vice President Kamala Harris. Now, with some scholars and pundits saying democracy is on the line, which made us want to dive a little bit deeper into these questions. So we asked Dr. David Adler, a constitutional scholar, as well as the president of the Alturas Institute, to join us today to talk more. Hi, Dr. Adler.
Hi, Gemma. Thanks for having me. Nice to be with you.
So as I mentioned, we are definitely in that final sprint to the presidential election. And as I mentioned, a lot of folks say it's historic. And a lot of folks say there are going to be many implications for democracy. I'm curious to know if you agree with these characterizations.
I certainly do, Gemma. So much is on the line for the future of American democracy. On the one hand, in the candidacy of Donald Trump, you have a candidate who has advocated through Project 2025 a broad overhaul of the American governmental system that tilts toward authoritarianism and a vast concentration of power in the presidency that is unprecedented by any measuring stick, placing in the hands of the president control of the Department of Justice, the American military, Homeland Security, eliminating regulatory agencies, all to serve the interest of the president. So that represents a dangerous tilt toward authoritarianism, and it's wholly anti-democratic. In other ways, the Trump candidacy stands for values which are antithetical to democracy, including respect for and promotion of women's rights. After all, he has boasted about the fact that he placed on the court three justices who overturned Roe versus Wade, which was one of his long-held campaign goals, and he has bragged about that. Furthermore, he and his candidate have condemned women and their to a limited role in American life. Vance has called women without children cat ladies, and he has argued for higher taxes for women who do not have children, and has said, for example, that grandmother's principal role in life after they've exceeded the childbearing age is simply to raise grandchildren. And they have attacked without any cessation immigrants and demeaned and denigrated people of brown skin, accusing them, of course, of bringing disease and mental illness into the country and engaging in violence, none of which is true, by the way, Gemma. And of course, has Vance and Trump have descended to the lowest of depths over the last 4 weeks or so by falsely asserting that Haitians in Springfield, Ohio, are eating pets. And so the exaltation of values by Trump and Walz, which are antithetical to democracy, raises this campaign to the highest concern, and not the least of which is just recently footage has emerged indicating that J.D. Vance's intellectual mentor is a man named Charles Yarvin, who is a great friend to the radical right, who has said that Americans have to be more comfortable with the idea of a dictatorship. So those points, along with Donald Trump's promise to engage in a mass deportation of people who have lived in this country for 10 or 15 years, all add up to an attack on democracy. And all of this, Gemma, is on top of all of his previous assaults on democracy, on the institution of the judiciary, on the press, calling reporters, of course, scum of the earth and the enemy of the people. So there's no doubt that in the Trump campaign, there is a tilt toward authoritarianism. And really an enthusiasm for democracy, for authoritarianism, as expressed in his ongoing admiration of authoritarian leaders around the world, especially Putin and Orban of Hungary.
Well, Dr. Adler, with all that said, if polls are to be believed, half of American citizens agree with Donald Trump. So they may be fine with everything you just mentioned and may see it differently. And so with that said, you know, there are many commentators, polls as well, suggesting that this race not only is tight, but it is going to come down to just a few battleground states. In fact, we may not even wake up on November 6th knowing who the next president is. It could be that close. So what are you looking for with a month to go in the campaign, in particular, with everything you just mentioned? Again, half of Americans are supporting Donald Trump.
Well, you're certainly right in everything you just said, Gemma. And to your point, polls show that some 40% of Americans are warm to the idea of authoritarianism. That's bone-chilling to me and to everybody who would support American constitutionalism and democratic values. You're quite right. This race seems to be standing on a knife's edge. And the race, as we all know, seems to be coming down to six or seven battleground states where the race is certainly neck and neck. And what we're looking for here, I think, in the last month or so of this campaign is A, to see if any of the voters can be moved in one direction or the other. As you know, the supporters of Harris and the supporters of Trump are pretty dug in, but there may be some 12 to 15% of the voters in those battleground states that are still on the fence. And the question is, what might move them? And so you see Kamala Harris on the campaign trail talking more about her economic plan, creating an economy of opportunity. You see her pounding away at the theme of freedom, advocating a woman's right to control her body, rather than the government dictating to women what they can do with their bodies. Trump, on the other hand, seems very bent on continuing to appeal to his base, not seeking to expand his base, which is an interesting political gambit. He must be thinking that if he can turn out his base and in high numbers, that will be sufficient to win the election. Typically, we say that the candidate who can expand his or her base is the candidate most likely to win. And so that's why we look at the polls at this point to see which issues are of greatest concern to Americans. And as you know, it's typically inflation and the economy, and immigration is up there. So we wonder, what will the candidates continue to do in terms of addressing those issues? One interesting thing to note about the national averages of all these polls, Gemma, is the fact that we have now learned in recent days that some right-wing pollsters have been able to merge their national averages into the entire aggregate of all the polls that are measuring where voters stand. And so that integration of right-wing polls, which are deliberately distorted to serve the interest of Donald Trump, not by any means recognized or highly valued pollsters, might well be skewing these numbers across the country. In theory, that could mean that Kamala Harris, in fact, enjoys a 3 or 4 point national lead, or in other states where these battleground races are so tight that there may in fact be some breathing room for Kamala Harris. But whether that's true or not, we can't say. Maybe we'll be able to figure it out after the election, but neither candidate can afford any time off. This is, as you said earlier, a sprint to the finish line. And there'll be every effort made to turn out voters. And that's what will affect the final outcome, which side can turn out their voters. And as I said earlier, which candidate can appeal to some of those fence sitters here in the last month. And it is the case, as you rightly said, that we're unlikely to know the winner of the presidency for several days after the election, simply because a couple of the states, including Pennsylvania, as you know, by state law, cannot begin to count mail-in ballots until after the election. So we may be a week out after the election before we know the eventual winner. And certainly we expect that the Trump campaign, if it should lose, at least by the count on election night and in the days after, is ready to go to court. As we know, some 90 lawsuits have already been filed in these six or seven battleground states.
How would you evaluate media coverage of this campaign?
That's a great question. I appreciate it. The campaign coverage, I think, has been uneven, at least with respect to two or three items, Gemma. The first is, and everybody recognizes how there was so much attention paid to President Joe Biden's cognitive decline over the past few months, indicating that his sentences were becoming shorter, that he was having lapses in making statements, and of course, his participation in the debate proved to be abysmal. And so there was no lack of coverage devoted to his cognitive decline. What I think is the uneven part of the coverage in this regard is, in fact, a lack of coverage in the treatment of Donald Trump's tendency to rant and rave in an incoherent manner. We know of a couple of instances in the past couple of months where at some rallies he was asked basic questions about how he might improve childcare in the country, for example, and he went on a rant about nuclear weapons. And he's not been coherent, and his sentences are filled with all kinds of lapses and missing points. So I think in this regard, Gemma, I think that there's been unequal coverage, and I wish that the media would engage in more accurate coverage of what Trump actually says at his rallies, which are 2 and 3 hours long, instead of engaging in what has, I think, rightly been characterized as the preference among some reporters to engage in what we call sane washing, trying to extrapolate from Trump's incoherence some argument so that in stories it can be said Trump addressed immigration or he addressed the issue of childcare. I think it's better for readers and listeners to have a clear understanding of what he's actually saying. The second point, and this is a question of great difficulty, I'm the first to admit, is how do you cover a candidate who is very clearly intent on undermining democracy, has attempted and indeed, I think, succeeded in some ways in undermining public confidence in the press? How do you cover such a candidate? This is not a normal race, as observers have noted, between two candidates who might just have differences on tax policy or welfare policy or issues of federalism. And the debate would be relatively narrow and it would be conducted on the basis of policy differences. This is not that kind of a campaign. And so I think despite their best intentions, I think reporters have struggled to cover a candidate who is essentially an authoritarian personality and would lead to the demise of the rule of law and democracy. So those two points concern me. I guess the third point is, and we'll see tonight in the vice presidential debate between Walz and Vance, whether or not the moderators engage in immediate fact-checking. It's a difficult thing to do in the debate between Trump and Harris on CNN. I think the moderators did a pretty good job of providing immediate fact-checking of both candidates, it has to be emphasized. I would hope that we get that tonight, even though that is very stressful, very difficult. Otherwise, there is simply a televised platform to a national, to a nationwide audience for 90 minutes that would allow one candidate or the other to engage in a stream of misrepresentations and lies without any correction. So I would hope for that. We'll see, Gemma, tonight if that occurs.
Dr. Adler, I want to go back to something you said, which is this is not politics as normal. You said, you know, this is not a normal candidate. This is, so it's difficult to cover something like this. I want to push back on that a tiny bit because Donald Trump has been in the political arena since what, 2014, won the election in 2016. We are looking at a decade of this person and his movement being in our in our society, in our culture. This is the only politics that my children know. And with that said, I've got a little bit less than 3 minutes, but I want to know your opinion on this because I would say maybe this is normal and we all have to adjust because even if Trump does not win, his movement is still going to be there.
Well, I certainly appreciate your points. That to me, it's a grim reminder that Donald Trump has been a fixture in American politics now for a clear decade. I think it's still not a normal race in this sense, Gemma. Trump is not talking policy particulars. Harris does. She offers specifics on economics and so forth. Trump doesn't. He just rants and raves, which makes it difficult, I think, for reporters to determine how to cover his rallies and speeches. But I do think you're right. And this last point you made is so important. If Trump is defeated, the movement, the MAGA movement, as it's called, is not going to end, in large part because politicians are imitators. And people in the MAGA party, it hardly resembles, I should say, the Republican Party that this country has known for decades. This MAGA party, which is enthralled to Donald Trump, and it's a party of a cult of personality in many ways, is going to continue because politicians are imitators. They have seen how Trump has succeeded, and they will embrace his methods. I think we already see that. Quite frankly, in the behavior of J.D. Vance, he is a mirror image of Donald Trump. So it's going to continue, and it's the most interesting aspect of the future of the grand old party, such as it was, is going to be the issue of intramural conflict. What will emerge? How long will it take for Republicans, if it's at all possible, to regain the fundamentals and the familiar platform of that party, or will it never regain it, thus clearing the way for the emergence of a new political party? But in the end, Gemma, I think this campaign is all about the future of democracy and the rule of law. One candidate, Kamala Harris, is a proponent of democracy, the rule of law, and freedom for the people, particularly for women. The other is a person who has shown disdain for the Constitution, even calling for its abolition, does not have any respect for the rule of law or the American court system, and has shown no interest in promoting or strengthening our democracy. This is the historic election of our lifetime, indeed, perhaps the most important election in American history.
Well, as always, Dr. Adler, appreciate your perspective on all of this. We've been talking with Dr. David Adler, constitutional scholar, as well as president of the Alturas Institute. He will be discussing all of these issues much more in depth at his next constitutional conversation, Countdown to the Historic Election of 2024, Implications for Democracy and the Rule of Law. It will be at the Yonke Center in Boise this Thursday, October 3rd at 4:30. It is open to the public. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald Trump's tight.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.